Hey, thanks for joining us here at South Reno United Methodist Church, where we love God, love people, and make disciples. If you have any questions or want to know more about us as a church, you can always check us out online by going to southrenoumc.org. With that being said, let's go to this week's lesson.
So we're winding down this series called 30 Days to Live. And it was interesting. I found this card that reminded me that I need to say again, this isn't about dying. It's about living. So here's the card. I used to live each day as if my were my last, but people got tired of me screaming, I'm gonna die! I'm gonna die. All right. I thought it was better than that, but so I thought about, well, how do I end this series? So I thought I'd go to a book that can be hard to read and understand, Book of Ecclesiastes. And so this is Solomon. This is understanding of who Solomon was, the wisest man of that time in the world. And he set off on an experiment. You know, how many of you remember needing to do science fair experiments? Either you did or you had to with your kids. I thought about picking some pictures up of some of the stranger ones. I thought, nah, but I can't help but mention two of them. One of them was about garlic. Garlic, the silent killer. I thought, that made no sense. But then it was the second one that really got me, and it was cats and electricity. And it was this picture of this young girl that had jumper cables in her hand with a battery attached and a picture of a cat. And it was like, no. But the key of that I want us to think about is that Solomon set out on an experiment. He wanted to know what life was about. You could say the meaning of life. Search for meaning. And so the text, that you heard some that Randy read, and we'll come back to, but there's this one operative one in verse 7. And it said, death is the destiny of everyone. The living should take this to heart. That's really what we're talking about. Taking to heart the life that we have and as we're living it. So he sat out on this experiment. Said, I wanted to see what was good for people to do under the heavens during the few days of their lives. And so that's what we see and what you heard Randy read. Now, you might have gone, there's got to be more to the story than that. And yes, there is. Well, that was just the setup. And so he came up with, if you look through the text, you come up with a couple of different categories. And so the first is he tried pleasure. He tried pleasure. I said to myself, come now, I'll test you with pleasure. I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly. He had a harem and 700. You know, delights of a man's heart. He denied himself nothing that his eyes would see. And that took me back to my, a number of years ago, I should say decades ago. And some of you will know who this is. I would imagine most of you do. There was a documentary that was out with looked at George Harrison, and he talked about the time in the Beatles and some of the searching that they went through. And that he did a lot of the things that you could say Solomon did. He ended up in San Francisco at Haight-Ashbury. You know, during the 60s. Now, some of you might know there. Some of you might have been there. But they did not deny any pleasures. And in fact, that's what George says in this documentary, that they went through that. And they were shocked that even through the through that time, it didn't give any significant meaning to their lives. None at all. Same thing happened a couple of years ago. You might remember with Tiger Woods. I felt that I deserved to enjoy all the temptations around me, he said. How could I have been so selfish and so foolish? Didn't last, didn't work. So, pleasures. The next thing, if you remember that text that's in your notes and that Randy read, it's really projects. Projects. How many of you have ever been to Hearst Castle? Talk about projects and projects and projects. I mean, to have so much to do that you'd go over, you go to places and bring back mosaics off of floors and statues to fill up rooms upon rooms upon rooms until the day he died. There was always more. Always more. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 4 says, I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. Yet, it's like chasing wind. So the next is possessions. Possessions. 7 and 8 says, I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and treasures of kings and provinces. As soon as I read through that, I thought about it. Well, the first person that comes to my mind is this, Howard Hughes. How much does it take to make a man happy? Just a little bit. Never enough. And then we come down to this last one, prestige. I became greater by far than anyone before me. I thought of this quote by Albert Einstein, not a familiar one. It says, it's strange to be known so universally, yet to be so lonely. Prestige didn't help. Didn't matter. In fact, it really leads us to verse 11. It says, yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after wind. So I'm going to invite Jamie to come forward, and we're going to do a little experiment of our own, more to illustrate the Hebrew understanding of what it means chasing after the wind. Because part of the problem when you read Hebrew, if you read Hebrews, it's not like our English language. It's more a describing of pictures. And so, as Jamie prepares us here, I want to show you what might be, what I think is really the literal understanding of what it means to chase after wind. Is this safe?
Maybe. Don't get too close.
There we go. Oh, we're at. So what literal chasing after the wind is like this. Boom. Gone. That's really the understanding of it. Here in a moment. Here and gone. That's really what Solomon's talking about. All those things. Here one moment, gone. What did it really mean? What did it really do? So if that's the case, then what are the secrets that Solomon found? Well, the first is, enjoy the little things. Be present. Enjoy life. Verse 24, it says, so I decided there's nothing better than to eat, to enjoy food and drink, and to find satisfaction in work. These pleasures are from the hand of God. To actually enjoy them. It's not a burden. Life isn't a burden. Goes on in chapter 9, verse 7, says, go ahead, eat your food with joy and drink your wine with a happy heart, for God approves this. Now, moderation is the issue here, and for some that have issues with alcohol, that's a different story with wine. So drink your lemonade, your water, or coffee for some of us, and drink it with joy, for God approves it. So I commend the enjoyment of life. Enjoy life. Because nothing is better for a man or a woman under the sun than to eat and drink and be glad. Then joy will accompany them in his work all the days of the life that God has given them. So I recommend having fun. Sound good? However many years anyone may live, let them enjoy every one of them. That's really the reinforcing theme here. Enjoy life. Avoid the when and then thinking. When this happens, then I'll do that. Or when I get this, then I'll do that. Be present now. Enjoy life. So then that leads to the second one. The second one is basically appreciate life's seasons. Appreciate life's seasons. Most of us know that song, to every turn, to everything there is a season. Well, that's Ecclesiastes. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. That means that our lives have seasons and that things will change. And it's okay, especially when you get to verse 11 and it says, God has made everything beautiful in its time. So let us live into that. That really leads to the third and fourth. And the third is do good. Do good. And then lastly, put God first. Put God first in your life. Now, all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter, Solomon says. Fear God and keep his commandments. Fear God, meaning honor God, acknowledge God. For this is the duty of all humankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing. So where is this all going? Well, it really leads to Jesus. There's a phrase that in Matthew 12, verse 42, Jesus said, now one greater than Solomon is here. So he's speaking to all the Hebrew people that recognize the wisdom of Solomon, and he's speaking of himself, that Jesus is the one. And that really leads us to this last statement in John, where Jesus said, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent, to believe in Jesus. That's really how we live into this. That's how we can live in the moment, so we can live out all that Solomon understood and tries to share with us. And is available to you and me. In fact, That's why we gather, isn't it? That's why in a few minutes we'll experience communion, have take communion together. To remember the one that has been sent. So that you and I could truly find meaning, significance, to enjoy life. And not get caught up in all the busyness. Let's pray. Lord, we have fun with science experiments, and we can easily find ourselves distracted by the world. We pause now to give you an opening into our lives and to turn towards you. In a few moments, as we partake in this meal that remembers what you've done for us, I'd ask that you would speak to the hearts of each person's hair. If we find that we've wandered away, we've been distracted, Lord, call us back. And we come back with a simple statement. Jesus, I give you my life. Nothing more, nothing less. Jesus, I give you my life. And so we say thank you and give you honor and praise. Amen. On that night in which Jesus offered himself up for us, there are really three movements, three things that speak to us. The first is, as he took the bread and broke it, he said, "This is my body that's been broken for you. Take and eat." The God of all heaven, the creator of the universe, put on flesh and came and dwelt among us. And he broke the bread. And later, he took one of the cups of the Passover meal and blessed it. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant that's filled with my blood that's been poured out for the forgiveness of sin." So God didn't just put on human form. He went even farther as to sacrifice his very life for you. And the third part that it speaks to this day is that we don't take communion by ourselves. And it's not a private event. It's a community. God calls us to be together, to encourage one another, to share with one another, to love one another, to hold each other accountable, to be inspired, to be the hands and feet of Christ. Three movements that happen in this meal. Maybe one of them today needs to speak directly to your heart. Let's pray. Lord God, we give thanks. We confess that we have fallen short. We've wandered away. We've gotten caught up in the world, in the busyness. But in these next few moments, we have the opportunity to turn towards you as we receive the bread, the juice, and we come together in Jesus' name. Amen.
As a church, it is our honor to play a small part in all that God is doing in and through your life, and we would like to continue with you on that journey. To find out what your next step could be in your relationship with Christ, all you have to do is go to southrenoumc.org/next. After all, here at South Reno, we are all helping you become the person God created you to be.